Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast. I'm Steve Borsch. This is episode 246, our New Year's Predictions Show. And I am on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning. What day is it?
December 28th.
Yeah, I didn't hear the date, so.
Oh, come on. Anyway, I'm on also with Graham Thickens.
I'm happy, and that music is making me happier.
And Phil Wilson.
Hello.
Excellent, excellent.
Okay. Did I just miss the date? Did I zone out?
Yeah, usually Steve does do the date, so.
I do not. Seriously?
Yeah, you do. You say it's on the episode number and what date it's on.
I said episode 246. I didn't say.
I know, but you didn't say when it was. So this could be January
all right,
sometime.
All right, listeners.
Now that he says it, I don't know. I never listened to him. I don't know.
I don't think I do. I think you guys.
I think you guys have had way too much
Christmas candy.
If we had any respect for our listeners, we'd cut this all out. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's just dive into it. So
we got predictions to get to quick. What's going on?
Well, I got a bunch of crap from people about family actually about the whole debit card thing.
They're not people.
Well, they are people, but you know, I wrote that post, use extreme caution with your debit card, and everyone was like, oh no, come on. I mean, you know, it's not a big deal and blah, blah, blah. Well, then, you know, Reuters comes out and says a source says that Target hackers stole the encrypted pins and Target denied it. And then they came out that same afternoon and they confirmed that the debit pin data was stolen during the attack. But don't worry about it because it's safe. It's encrypted.
It's all encrypted. Yeah. No one can crack that sucker.
Nobody can ever crack encryption. Oh, no.
No. Never.
No. So
I'm totally safe.
I'm so happy that my wife and I cut up our debit cards and got new ones. So
you guys did?
Well, oh, right away. Immediately. Yeah.
When you think about it.
I don't have any debit cards.
So. Yeah.
When you think about it, it was a pretty ingenious hack because most of those red cards are connected right to checking accounts. So they act just like debit cards. And I think, am I correct in assuming that the liability is different, credit card versus debit card?
Yeah. Well, you didn't read my post. Yeah.
I did, but I can't remember the specifics.
Well,
I
mean, the specifics is that most debit cards, in fact, probably all of them, are backed by one of the credit card companies, Visa or MasterCard. And so, you know, your liability is typically the same as a credit card, but here's the difference. The difference is if a hacker steals it and they drain your bank account, it can take weeks or months for that all to get reconciled and for that money to get back into your account. Now, we have Wells Fargo, so they have this zero liability thing, so they claim that's not an issue, even though they say if you report it promptly, but no one can define what the word promptly means. So, you know, that means 2 days later, you didn't report it within 2 hours. So we're not going to put that 10 grand in until we define what happened to, you know, figure out what happened. So that's the big difference.
Yeah.
So scary stuff.
Well, they're in big trouble.
Yeah, I think Steinhoff will get the
boot. No matter what you say.
Well, I mean, their PR on this has been poor from the beginning. And this whole latest thing makes them look even worse because they deny it and then they have to say, oh, nope, you're right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes them look like they're hiding something. I know it could be, you know, it could be different. They could be that they didn't think that they were, all these numbers were taken and then they found out later in the day, but I doubt it. This makes them look bad.
Yeah, I think it makes them look bad too. And they, you know, it clearly they need to confirm something before they come out and make a statement. But, you know, Brian Krebs hadn't have dropped the dime on him right at the beginning and released the story. Would Target have even said anything? And yeah, that's what people are asking.
The assumption is they knew a long time before Brian did, right?
That's the assumption, but
yeah. So why did they take so long to, why didn't they be proactive and step up and announce it instead of waiting for an industry blogger to announce it. You know, I mean, what were they thinking, that it might just go undetected? I mean, what the heck?
Well, I think they probably thought, let's hope we can get through the holiday season before it's discovered.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Yeah, they're probably, it's calculated risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that could be the downfall of the CEO, though, you know? Like you say, Steve, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to get the boot.
Yeah, I think he will, too.
Get that nice golden parachute and go off to an island somewhere like Ron Johnson did.
Yeah. I don't typically CEOs are okay. You know, here's 20 million. Just keep your mouth shut.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, I'll be quiet for a million just in case anybody wants.
And I'll be quiet for another month for 2 million. Then I'll write
my
book.
God. Oh, geez. Boy. So, Tim, buddy,
see,
Best Buy marrying social media to commerce. Now, what is this all about? I didn't even hear about this.
So they did a hangout, and I want to say it wasn't Christmas Eve, but it wasn't like a week before Christmas. It was, I think it was like the Thursday before. So it would be like a week ago Thursday. So it was very close to Christmas, but they had a Google Plus hangout with experts, and you know, these people came in. I didn't participate, or see it, but you know, it looks interesting. So they're trying some new stuff. I thought it was an interesting social media angle, which we normally jump on.
Well, and you know what I like about it is that it's like the Best Buy when Robert Stevens was there and Gary, whose name just blew out of my brain, Gary Colling. Where Best Buy was in this, hey, let's figure this stuff out by taking risk. Let's try stuff.
Yeah, you know? Let's try new stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it is, we can't ship it to you, screw it. We're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, what was the deal on that? Was it all last-minute orders that blew up commerce shipping, e-commerce shipping?
I think it had a lot to do with Amazon's upgrade to Amazon Prime offer, so.
Yeah.
Really? That last minute. What was the number they put on that? The Amazon Prime subscribers, like 10 million or something like that?
Well, they're saying tens of millions, which the writer at All Things D was quick to point out. That means 20.
Oh, could be. Could be.
Plural. They barely got into the plural range. So they're saying they now have 20 million total. But didn't they have like a big surge of?
Yeah, it was the last minute because they made that. I took a 30-day trial on it, so I don't know if that was the culprit, but that's a great service, by the way. But I think it just overwhelmed UPS and FedEx.
Well, that was the story. Is UPS and FedEx basically apologized and said they were going to have to deliver after Christmas a lot of the packages that were shipped.
We had a UPS guy come to our house about 9 o'clock at night right before Christmas. So those guys were working their asses off.
Oh man.
Well, no doubt.
You know, it's going to be even worse next year. So
why is that?
Well, it's because of the success of e-commerce this year. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'll try to find the article and put it in the show notes, but it was about the success of mobile shopping specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll find that, but with more and more people walking around with devices, you know, you're thinking, oh geez, this store didn't have it. That store didn't have it. Let me go online and see if I can find it. Oh, there it is at Amazon. Let me buy it. And that kind of behavior was happening more and more.
I'm just coming over to your house, Steve, and I'm going to print them up on your new digital 3D printer.
That's right. That's right. That's right. It's in the garage. It's about the size of an SUV. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to turn the third stall into a holodeck.
Holodeck.
Yeah. So Julio did an article about a service, and normally I kind of roll my eyes over this stuff. But
I definitely did. That's why I put it in.
But you know what, though? I think
you used it, didn't you?
No, I think it's a great service. So it's called Plows, P-L-O-W-Z. And you can call up a plowing on the fly.
Yeah, it's like Uber, but for snow plow.
Yeah.
Or snow removal. Yeah.
So I was out of town once, and my son at the time was 12. And
we got him home alone?
No. Oh, okay. No, my wife and son and my wife, daughter, and son were home, and my daughter was working, and there was, I don't know, 8 inches of snow or something. And so my wife calls me, and I try to coach her through starting the snowblower. To no avail. They couldn't pull the thing, and so I had them plug it in, and that didn't work, and yada, yada, yada. And it's a little finicky. And I would love to have had a service where, you know, I don't need to contract with a service for the whole season, but there are times just like that where you think, oh, my God, I could just call these guys, you know, and they'll be out quickly. I forget what.
Well, you get your app out. So it's an Android or iPhone app. And
yeah,
you just
right.
like
yeah.
Uber. It's just like Uber. And you say, hey, here I am.
Right.
Need to come out. And I've got a, you know, five car length driveway. And then they come out and they do it for $35.
Right.
That's why I have a wife.
Give her a shovel.
And a snowblower. So that's why you never want to buy any kind of power equipment your wife cannot operate.
It's true. Well, you know, we were having a discussion once that, you know, what do you do when, you know, you go outside to start your car in the morning to let it warm up? You know, how do you keep people from stealing it? It's really pretty simple. You just send you make sure your wife keeps an eye on it while she's shoveling.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is becoming a big deal in Minneapolis, though. They're warning
cars
people.
Why they're warming up.
They're warning people. It was in the paper. And then also the city put out something on their website about making sure that you're careful when you plug your car or you start your car to warm it up because people have been stealing them.
Yeah. I keep putting my 300,000 mile Volvo out in the middle of the street and leaving it running. Nobody seems to want to take it.
That's the surefire cure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing Julio does point out in this story is that this Plows thing would be good if you're out of town. Yeah. So you're out of town, there's a blizzard, you just call them up and you know, it gets plowed. And when you get home, you don't have to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it makes your house look lived in. So yeah. I think this is a good service. I think it'll work.
I do too.
And then when you call them and you say, hey, I'm out of town, could you please plow my driveway? They say, sure. Let me just call all my buddies to come over and clean out your house too while you're
my
gone.
Buddy Guido. Yeah.
Okay. But here's the only kicker. So a couple of weeks in advance of Christmas Eve, my wife and her sisters get together and they decide that they're going to just do buka, you know, and then have a few other things so that nobody was stuck making all the food, you know, and plus the fact, I'm sure it's like you guys' house where you walk, you know, up to the counter with a buffet on it and there's like, you wonder when the other 50 people are going to show up. There's so damn much food. Where was I going to go with that?
Sorry. I don't remember.
Buka.
Thank you. So we show up at Buka. I am so tired. Oh my God. Anyway, so we show up at Buka, my daughter and I, to pick up all the food, and there's 20 people in line to pick up.
Oh God.
And her stuff was supposed to be ready at 6:15. Well, anyway, here's the punchline. The punchline is, finally get up to pay about 6:45. We finally get our food a little after 7. And of course we get home and get everything set up and we have dinner at 7:30 instead of 6:30. And to say I was upset would putting it mildly. And you know, I tweeted something about the cluster, you know what, at Buka. And they made it right. Yesterday a VP called and gave us a gift certificate and so forth. But
what did you do to complain? What did you do?
A nasty tweet.
I did a nasty tweet with, you know, at Buka di Beppo. But here's the kicker. The reason that it happened was they didn't turn off their e-commerce ordering. And that afternoon, Christmas Eve, they had so many orders coming in on e-commerce that they couldn't keep up, and then somebody screwed up by logistically not queuing them properly. Mm. And And they look at it now and said, hey, we learned a lot, and we're going to have to figure out how to just shut it off. Or say, hey, we can't fulfill this order.
Yeah.
So,
which is what Amazon and a lot of other sites may have to do next year. I remember when the post office always used to say, get your packages mailed by December 10th. That's it. If you want them to arrive.
Right.
I don't know if they still say that, or I don't recall hearing any of that from anybody this year, but maybe I wasn't paying attention. But, you know, what's the matter with good old fashioned deadlines? You know, otherwise people are going to do the last minute itis thing.
Absolutely. You know. Well, we even do that on our e-commerce, where if you order it by 3 p.m., you'll get it the next day. And if you don't, sorry.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. People have to realize they can't get instant gratification, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Same day delivery of a candy bar. Remember that back in the .com days when e-commerce was just happening?
Yeah.
They were doing same day delivery in San Francisco, and geeks would, like, you know, order a candy bar and have it delivered to their apartment door, you know? Yeah.
Well, here's the article on Apple's iOS blowing away Android for shopping on Christmas.
And yeah, it wasn't even close.
Wow. Yeah, so it was 23%.
23%
versus 4.6% for Android. Wow.
And then those iOS owners who apparently are more spendy, with twice as much, with an average per order of $93.94.
That's very impressive.
Very much. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. But at the same time, what was the deal with Chromebooks? They look like they're doing really well. There was that article in O Static. Well, Julio did an article too about it.
I just bought a shitload of them, so my prediction from 2013 would look good.
I know.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's why the Volvo's sitting outside.
I'm returning them all tomorrow. So.
That's like the prom dress that you wore last year. You returned that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. It's true.
Well, I think that's pretty interesting, though, that there was such a pickup in Chromebooks.
Well, there was also a pickup in Chromebook advertising. So I think you can kind of associate the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. I'm using one right now.
Seriously?
Yeah, but it's right in front of me.
Huh.
But you're not using it for the podcast, are you?
Oh, no. Of course not. Because, yeah.
It's not that nearly reliable.
Well, no. If I had it running Linux, then yes, I could run Skype on it. But.
Huh. Well, there was an interesting article about a guy that bought a Dell, the one that you can have with the, Ubuntu Linux, and he replaced a MacBook Air with it, and he was talking about all the stuff that is so similar to OS X, and I thought, but then it's all the other stuff that you can't do with it that I look at. But you know what, like, guys, let's the really fun thing about this show each year is doing our predictions.
Well, let's just get to them. Well, like, no, first, I would like to.
We got to review the.
I'd like to gloat a little bit.
Really?
Okay.
On my predictions. Steve Ballmer will step down at Microsoft, prediction one.
Check.
It.
The Chromebook will spark a netbook rebirth.
Maybe.
Yeah, kind of.
In between a hit and a miss.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. I think it's doing pretty well. Okay. I will receive my Pebble Watch sometime in 2013.
That was an easy one. Yes.
Okay. Internet security legislation didn't quite get passed.
No.
No one's happy. So that's, you got that part of it, right?
And I guess Steve Borsch will buy a 3D printer didn't come through.
No.
Shoot.
And that copyright fee structure thing, did that even happen?
No. Yeah. Once again, Sound Exchange lives for another year. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim, your number one, though, was a real hit. Windows 8 will be a disaster. I think it is. And so does everybody else.
Well, I think it's I don't know if it's a disaster. I think that it's definitely not been successful.
Slow on the uptake.
Yeah, yeah. But disaster? I thought it was just going to be a huge problem. But, you know, it seems to be moving along slowly. So I don't know. It's the jury's out. If you think I got it right, you know.
I think it did. Well, I mean, when you've got magazines like Forbes writing articles that say the Windows 8 flop, what does it mean for Microsoft? You know, I mean, it's like, geez, I think that's.
My second one, though, when if you go in and you read or you listen to the podcast, Phil thought that I was going to be completely wrong.
I know.
And which is it, you know, last year would be there or this year would be the year of the sub $200 or sub $100 tablet with Android grabbing 30% to 40% market share and Apple losing market share. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a show off.
But the next one I got totally wrong with the wearable tech go mainstream with Google and Apple, you know, putting products out. Didn't happen.
Yeah,
that'll happen this year.
And the Windows 8 will become the third mobile OS behind Android and iOS. I think they kind of were third, but they definitely, you know, came in strongly in the third position this year.
Yeah.
So even though I'm not, you know, hepped up on Windows 8 on the desktop, I think on their on the phone side, you know, they'll be a strong contender, you know, an alternative.
Yep. Graham?
Well, yeah, I had some monumental misses on mine. I mean, my Apple prediction of $800 a share on the stock by year end is way off.
Which, yeah, it would completely the other way.
Well, no.
Yeah, they closed up, at 560.
No. Yeah, but that's up.
That's up. But it was a roller coaster of a year.
Let me say how much it's up. It's up 13% in 2013. That ain't bad. Nope. And, you know, and the trend is definitely on the up as it has been in the most recent couple of weeks with the China Mobile announcement. But yeah, that's clearly a miss. I feel like, you know, a need to quantify some of these predictions. It's not, a, you know.
No, we got to get to the 2014.
When you do that, it's,
don't
you know,
quantify.
It makes it harder to have some hits. My next one on Best Buy going private also turned out to be a massive miss. But, you know, a year ago, it was pretty dark days for Best Buy. And Hubert Joly has really pulled off a turnaround. There's no doubt about that. I predicted that they would be divesting massive amounts of real estate. And I haven't really kept up on whether or not they have closed and sold any brick and mortar store properties. I suspect they have done some, but that has certainly not been there's certainly not been any big stories about them doing that. And although, you know, what we don't hear about, and I don't know if we've touched on this before on a podcast, but they've subleased a lot of space in the headquarters. And I'm not even aware of how much, but it's a lot, I've heard. So, you know, obviously they've downsized their staff quite a bit. I don't think they've closed a lot of stores, though. That I'm aware of, and commercial real estate in general, I thought would be hit pretty hard in 2013. But I don't know that that's really happened either. I still think it's not, you know, far from its heyday, but it's coming back. So, and then my next one was the Jobs Act and the crowdfunding promise that would bring, where, you know, normal people, non-accredited investors, could start investing in startups. That is mostly right. I mean, the SEC regs still are not all sorted out, and it could be a long time, if ever, that non-accredited investors, everyday people, will be investing their hard-earned cash into startups. And then I had a prediction of we'd have more Minnesota-born techies returning from California home to Minnesota than vice versa. And that is mostly a miss, I think. I have not heard of a lot of people. I can't think of one right off the top of my head that I know that moved to California that has moved back. In fact, I've heard of some of the opposite, people going out there from here. One took a job with Apple, one developer I know, another guy just got sick of the weather and moved out there. He's a contractor, a data scientist, and decided he'd rather try living in California for a while. So I'm not aware of a lot of people coming this way from California, despite all the problems in the state. And we talked about that last year, right, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, did you see that Tim Draper, the very well-regarded longtime VC, called for the state of California to be split up into five states?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Silicon Valley would be one of them because, yeah. You know, there's so many different economies
going out there.
But yeah.
Well, that'll happen when Texas secedes from the Union.
Silicon Valley arrogance right there. So,
well, yeah. And there's been a lot of talk about that lately too, but
it's possible that it could be cut into two states though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's been talked about for a long time, NorCal and SoCal, you know, but
Alta California.
What we don't hear about out there we don't hear about it here, is that a lot of those mega rich Silicon Valley folks, I think, are setting up residency in other states, particularly Nevada. You know, a lot of them have places in Lake Tahoe, and they have their ways of getting around the tax problems out there.
Well we're talking a lot about Graham's predictions from 2013. We need to get to the 2014.
Yeah, we do.
But you also had context aware.
That trend is continuing. Again, I didn't quantify that.
And you didn't get Minovate will be acquired by a new startup. So
much to our chagrin.
And
we miss that gladly. We're happily independent, right?
Well,
and proud of it.
And so, not for profit. And then Steve.
So mine was Apple will release a TV and upgrade the existing box. And that was a miss, kind of, mostly.
Didn't do anything to the box.
They did do a software upgrade.
Oh, sure.
So wow. I'll count that as a miss. Okay. PageMaker for HTML5 will debut, probably from Adobe. I would say that's a hit because they shipped Muse, which is a really fabulous visual editing and creation tool for websites. The kicker is no one cares anymore. No, they don't care about making websites. I love Muse as a tool. I've used it a couple times for building just, you know, cheesy little sites. But it totally misses the power of a content management system, so nobody cares. I put Internet of Things will hit mainstream media and be a big deal. That was absolutely a hit. I mean, if you look at any mainstream business-oriented publication, everybody's buzzing about Internet of Things. And then when you walk into Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards and you start to see connected devices that work with SmartThings hubs and others, it's happening. MacBook with a hybrid OS 10 and iOS, that was a miss. But maybe that's what the iPad Pro will be next year.
All right. I'm hoping that they do that because I think that would be a great product.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim.
Are we going to do one at a time like we did last year?
You want to just go around the horn one at a time?
No, let's do everybody's
whenever
at once. So okay. Tim, you go first.
So should we just talk all at once and let people try to figure out what we're saying?
Well, how would you like to do it, Phil?
So if we talk at the same time, then it'll be really short. But nobody will understand it. So.
No, I was saying like Tim would do his four predictions and then Graham would do four and. If there's any left over like that.
Okay. Or we could just go around one at a time.
Let's do that. We've done that every year.
Because right. We do have a couple of repeats.
I will acquiesce. Tim, you do one, and then Graham, and then Steve, and then Phil. And then we'll go back to Tim. And Tim, you do another one.
And you notice I'm last. I'm always last because I'm tall, so I'm always in the back. And my name begins with a W. So I'm always last.
Yeah.
Always putting us in the back.
Well, that's right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, so I thought I would steal this one from Steve because he'll probably get to this at some point. But Apple will enter the Internet of Things space and wearable computing, but they're not going to do TVs. I still don't see them doing an Apple branded TV. I think they'll upgrade the Apple TV, but
so what kind? When you say wearable, what do you think it's going to be?
It'll be a watch.
Okay.
It'll be a Pebble style watch or a Fuel Band style, you know, workout quantified self kind of thing, or maybe a fusion of the two.
Okay.
Probably right. That.
Okay. Graham?
I'm going to start out with my joke prediction. Facebook will buy Twitter and rename itself Fritter.
There you go. Good.
That leads me into my social sort of prediction that, you know, or the early adopter crowd, I think, is increasingly tiring of Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and they're looking for something else, and I have no idea what that's going to be yet. But it just might be sort of an evolution of Snapchat that's been called the erasable internet. And I'll put a link in the show notes about that. I think it's a fascinating concept with privacy being
I think one of the
hot issues of the year.
I think what it'll look like, Graham, it'll look amazingly like a piece of paper with writing on it.
Oh, a moleskin.
Yeah. And people
will share,
you know, putting it in a little box and it will send it to somebody else and they will get it and open it and read it. I think that's the new app.
A comeback for the postal.
They
need it so bad.
All right, Steve.
Okay, my biggie is the Internet of Things, the Internet of Everything, as some call it. We'll move to the next level and we will see mass merchants start to carry smart things. Now, one could argue that Home Depot and Lowe's are mass merchants of home product and building product. But I'm talking about organizations like Target and Walmart, who are, by the way, now carrying LED light bulbs, which is new as of maybe 3 weeks ago. So it's starting.
It's a slippery slope from those LED light bulbs.
It is. Filson?
Next thing they're going to be counting eggs on your smartphone.
That's right.
It's true.
That's right.
It's true. All right. I think the whole buzz around big data will turn to smart data. And more people realize the quantity of data is not nearly as important as the quality of the data within it. So I think that's going to see some tools and some business channels, you know, basically operate around interpreting big data now that we've collected it. Because I think so many people are just looking at it and going, well, there's just a shitload of data out here. This is great. But they don't know what to do with it all because there is so much data.
Yeah, I think I would agree that the analytics space is going to be huge.
So basically you're saying little data is going to start to finally get some respect.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. the core data, the little data inside the big data.
Yep. There you go.
There you go. Tim, back to you, brother.
Well, I think that we'll see a consumer release of Google Glass, but it'll flop mainly because I think it'll be too expensive for the mainstream, but also there'll be a lot of privacy concerns. So I think it'll remain popular with geeks, but it won't be popular with mass market consumers for those reasons.
Interesting. I think
it's an interesting space. It's an interesting piece of equipment and it's an interesting piece of tech, but yeah, it so struggles to be mainstream.
But the only thing that I think could maybe twist it just a little bit is if augmented reality happens where you can stand in a space and you know, like you're traveling and travel data, photos of historic events and so forth will show up in front of you. That I could think would be huge. But then when I say that to people, they go, yeah, but why would I not just lift up my smartphone?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, yeah.
How come we don't see smartphone apps that do that?
Well, there are a couple, but it's never taken off, mainly because it's been interesting that Google has not tied, Panorama, that photo site for Google Earth that shows photos. Like you go to the Eiffel Tower on Google Earth, there's like 3,000 photos, so you can see the Eiffel Tower from every possible angle, and but they've never tied it together, so. Interesting. Graham?
All Google's fault.
Okay. I am going out on on the edge here and saying Apple will introduce an ear wearable, a high-tech hearing device.
Okay. You mean like a Bluetooth headset?
Yeah. Disrupting a huge splintered market that has been in need of disruption for a long time, you know, which continues its pattern of kind of blowing up existing markets. You know, so I say screw the TV and watch, which I don't think we'll see either of, and people need to hear. And this is an increasing problem across all age groups. You know, obviously baby boomers being the largest of the demographic groups that have the problem. But there was a fascinating article in Fortune a few weeks ago about this, and it relates to one of the largest hearing aid companies in Denmark, I believe it is, in Scandinavia somewhere, called GN, which interestingly enough has its U.S. operations right here in Bloomington, called GN Resound. Resound, I guess, would be the... Yeah, so I'll put a link in the show notes to the article and to the local connection there. And I have no idea whether the local connection would be involved here in any way, but Apple, Reuters reported a few weeks ago, has been working with this GN company out of Denmark. So I think we'll see something there. It's a huge, unbelievably big market. And it so fits what Apple would do. Of course, TV is a big market too. But anyway, I just don't think, I agree with Tim. I don't think we're going to see a TV, you know, maybe ever. But yeah, that's mine.
I don't see getting in that business. It's too cutthroat and people don't buy them all the time.
Right.
There's not a lot of profit in them.
Yeah, well, but with hearing aids, you know what your average hearing aid costs? I mean, we're talking $1,000. Oh, no, yeah. It's more than that. It's it's typical to see $3,000, $3,500 still. You can go to Costco, and I know this because my hearing is getting shot, and it's not from going to too many rock concerts, which I've never really done that much of. You know what it is? It's from lawnmowers and snow throwers. But I've checked this out. Costco has, like maybe half the retail price of what others might charge. But you're still talking $1,500 for one. You know, if you need two, we're talking big bucks in that market. So
what's next on yours, Steve?
The next one is that the U.S. power grid will have a major security breach, making us all wake up to what's happening with energy. And the smart grid. There's a bunch of articles. I'll put a few links in the show notes, but it's what's happening with smart grids and home energy generation and so on. That is all kind of moving forward nicely, but there will be a big outage at some point in 2014 caused by hackers or crackers getting into the grid, and it's going to make everybody wake up and go, "Oh my God, we kind of depend on this stuff."
Yep.
Okay.
That'll be
that's like your security tip of the year.
There it is.
Well, it is.
It's the security warning of the year.
Yeah.
So, go bury your ammo. And
fortunately, the U.S. power grid is going to undergo a simulated attack in early 2014. So they're mm-hmm. Department of Energy is gearing up to try to protect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is going to be organized by the government. This will go well. This will go well.
You're so funny.
All right. Anyway, all right. Let's see. Wearable tech. We talked about that. I think that more encryption. Encryption's the word of the year. So you're going to find encryption on more sites, more services, just because of security concerns. So That's probably not a stretch by any means, but you got to go for the low hanging fruit every once in a while.
Yep. Tim, buddy boy.
Yeah. I think that Microsoft is going to get their mojo back, and I think we're going to see a Hubert Joly style resurgence of the company next year when they appoint a new a new CEO that kind of gets them on track, especially in the consumer area where they've been really kind of struggling.
I have Robert Stevens pegged for that, by the way.
Ah, funny. I was going to say Marissa Meyer, but
well, there's that too. But
yeah, I don't think she's going to go for it.
I agree with you on that one, Tim. I think they're going to figure out something. They're going to try to unify all those many different faces of Microsoft. Well,
there's a lot of potential there, so I think that there's potential for someone coming in and just rethinking and doing another reorganization and getting things working very, very well, because there's a lot of smart people that work there, obviously, and there's a lot of good ideas, and they're almost there. They
need somebody. You're right. They need the right leader.
Well, they sure have everything they need to really knock it out of the park. There's no question about that.
They just need somebody that doesn't spit as much when they talk and sweat as much in public. So I think then they'll be good.
Well, they need a product person, not a salesperson.
Yeah.
A visionary, you say? Yeah, a visionary leader.
They need a Johnny Ives, is what they need. They won't get him. They won't get him.
Yeah, I think Johnny's a bit overrated, but go ahead.
Well, he's a good designer.
Yes.
Microsoft stock is way up this year, too.
Yeah, well.
It's taken quite a run-up in anticipation of a new CEO, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right, Graham, you're up.
Back, oh, Graham. I'm up. Oh, okay. I think Apple will introduce an enhanced Siri. I think, they better. We've been waiting on this for a long time. We know they've been secretly working on more with Siri. They didn't buy it for what it is now. So I think we really need to see something, and we'll see features that are more about intelligent notifications. The context aware trend that I talked about last year. Google Now is already doing lots of cool things. It's time for Siri to catch up and leapfrog. So there you go.
Good.
Making search invisible.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Good way to put it.
Okay. I'm looking ahead at Steve's list. So I'm waiting. So we're going to see Steve and Graham duke it out on this next one. Go.
Yeah. Well,
go.
Yep. Okay. So Bitcoin. Well, you know what? No. I'm going to leave that because I want him to go first.
No.
So, yeah. No.
Oh, okay. Wow. He's just deleted his.
No. I'm just moving it to a new spot.
To a new location.
Yeah. So the new one that I want to say next is Bluetooth Low Energy, Bluetooth 4. We'll turn our smartphones into beacons, which they already are, but they're.
I think this ties into what Graham was just talking about too.
Yes. But that it'll turn on Internet of Things switches and so on. In fact, it already works with the SmartThings hub, so you can use your phone as a presence sensor. But with iBeacon from Apple and other solutions that there'll be store based presence and all kinds of things facilitating point of sale payment and as I put in here, and make buying porn easier. So Phil.
How will it make buying porn easier?
I have no idea, but I just had to put that in there so I could nail Phil.
So
for grins.
It will just sort of like when you get an erection, all of a sudden porn will pop up on your
phone. Because the accelerometer on the phone. The accelerometer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, geez. Okay. Phil.
I got to ask why you could insist putting porn in there for my benefit.
Just because I have very little I can yank your chain about and tease you about, and you tease me all the time, and I got to come up with something.
It's true.
You're just too ramrod straight, and that's right.
Yeah, I'm.
Yeah.
The driven snow. Yes. Well, again, low hanging fruit. Supreme Court's going to have to make the decision on the power of the NSA. I think that's going to come to a head in 2014. They're going to see a lot of either. It's probably the Supreme Court may not call it unconstitutional to collecting phone data, but at the very least, there will be so much more oversight. It will be boggling.
Yeah.
One man's metadata is another man's data, right?
Yep.
Well, there's an article that came out that talked about how with metadata, they were able to score 73% hits where they were able to identify a phone number with an actual human.
Yeah.
Which is just scary.
So. Very scary. And, you know, this whole concept of, you know, we're collecting it, but we're not looking at it, so it's okay, is, I'm sorry, that's wrong. If you collect it, you have it, and it's unconstitutional. That's my view. But then again, I don't have a robe or anything.
Well, you know, and the kicker is that, you know, yeah, we're collecting it all, and we only look at it when we have a court order to allow us to do a forensic search. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. So there you go.
All right. Tim.
All right. My final one for this year, for next year, actually, we'll continue to complain about the lack of VC money for Minnesota startups.
That's so true, because it's what we do.
It is.
That's right. Well, I don't see the economy getting much better next year, unfortunately. I don't think it's going to get much worse. I just don't think we're going to see a recovery of any kind. So it'll continue to trickle its way down into the lack of money for startups here.
The whining continues.
Yep.
About not enough money for startups. Well, and the VC industry is certainly undergoing a lot of change. You know, it's just
considering
not,
most of them didn't actually write any checks.
Yeah. Well,
but you think it's going to be a good year, Graham?
Well, yeah, you want me to jump into that?
Sure.
Yeah, I do think that for Minnesota startups, it'll be a good year. And I think acquisitions will accelerate. I think pretty much everybody's seeing that with the increase in IPOs, the numbers of tech IPOs coming. That heats everything up. And M&A will continue to increase. I mean, there will be, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say there will be at least three specific tech companies acquired in 2014. I won't name the names that I have in my head, but I think there will be some good ones, just like there was this past year, but even more next year. And I think angel and VC investment in Minnesota startups will accelerate at a faster rate than in 2013. There have been some recent positive developments along those lines. More money coming in with a new fund from Arthur Ventures, and more money coming up from Chicago specifically. More early stage, seed stage kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm very positive on 2014 for Minnesota startups.
So I when you say money coming up from Chicago, I see, hey, money coming up from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Union organizers.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Lenny the kneecapper is coming up too.
Exactly.
No, there are some notable funds and angel networks down in Chicago that are snooping around. I'm hearing that more and more. And you know, and the money is coming from the other direction too, which is Fargo, North Dakota. That's where all the money is. I joke, it seriously is.
I was going to say, what?
It is. No, seriously, there's a lot of money, angel money and VC money coming out of North Dakota, Arthur Ventures being the primary VC fund that's investing in enterprise internet, you know, enterprise software companies.
What has Arthur invested in here locally?
Well, going back a couple of years, they've been invested in Workface, Leif Larson's company.
Yeah.
And what else have they invested in lately? Oh, lead pages.
I've talked to so many startups that have presented to Arthur and have never gotten anything.
Well, they were kind of inactive there for a year or more because they were raising a new fund. But
oh, had to go back to work at the oil wells. I guess
they did raise like a $46 million fund or something in that neighborhood. And you know, I've heard of at least one investment since that fund closed, which has only been a matter of months, I think, since it closed. And that was a co-investment in Lead Pages behind Foundry Group out of Boulder.
Okay.
So that was a good sign.
You have to do your next one, Graham, because we're going to run out of time.
Okay. The Bitcoin bubble will burst. I think its value will decline markedly from present levels. So there's a quantifiable prediction. I think it's way overdone, and it's already dropped back a lot after China said they wouldn't take it. And I don't know what it's at right now. What is it? Is it $800, $900, something like that? I won't say how much it'll go down, but it'll decline markedly. I think it's a bubble.
Well, I'll put a link to a Bitcoin converter online. And right now, one Bitcoin is $738.5 U.S. dollars.
See, it's down a lot. It was hitting, didn't it hit a high of like $1,100? I think it did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So,
Steve, you disagree.
I do disagree. And the reason that I disagree is that there are so many thought-leading organizations that are accepting Bitcoin, and even some that are really kind of nebulous. So I'll give you two examples. One is Automattic, the WordPress people, the WordPress company, Mullenweg's company, they're accepting Bitcoin. And the flip side is this strange acceptance from Overstock.com.
Oh, yeah.
I went, what? Seriously? Why are they accepting Bitcoin? So at any rate, I think that that's pretty interesting. But what I think is going to be really interesting is Bitcoin's use in virtual environments. And so when you think about what happened with Second Life and that woman, that Asian woman who was making, you know, a couple hundred grand a year, making clothing and buildings and everything else and leasing out islands so on, and then converting it into U.S. dollars. And the government was trying to figure out how the hell we're going to tax that, especially at the state level. And so things like that, you know, like the Silk Road drug purchases, it's going to happen without governmental involvement. And that's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens.
You know, another one that's accepting Bitcoin, well, I don't know if accepting it, but Fidelity said they were going to allow it in IRAs. I'm pretty sure really? It was Fidelity. It was one of the biggies.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I did not see that.
There are many jumping on the bandwagon, but still, I don't know. That's sort of what starts becoming the definition of a bubble in my mind. But anyway.
Well, and the other downside is about that is I can't trust the current system. So why would I trust Bitcoin that it has no transparency?
So I've got a Bitcoin prediction.
What?
The number of normal Americans that will understand what Bitcoin is will rise above 5% sometime next year.
Heading towards 5.5.
I think you're being generous, actually.
And I hope to be one of them.
Yeah.
I got a buddy whose son did it. His like 15-year-old son got fascinated with it, started investing in it. He's probably made a lot of money. And one day I ran into this buddy of mine who's got a startup founder locally, and we were at a Minnesota Cup event. And he said, here, you want me to give you one? He said, I'll give you a percentage of a Bitcoin or something. And he brought out his smartphone, did some things, and sent me a fraction of a Bitcoin. You know, like it was like worth a quarter or something at the time. And I thought, oh, okay. I don't even think I want to know how he did that, or I don't have time to learn, you know. Yeah. But he did. He sent me a piece of a Bitcoin.
I think, well, let's see. You've got one more, I think. Don't you, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve, I do. I think
you have one more.
Well, one more is about the personal cloud. You know, Google Fiber and Comcast terms of service disallow hanging a server on your network, but I can't tell you how many people I know that, you know, are running the Apache web server in their Mac, and then they've punched a hole through their firewall so you can get to it, or they're using dynamic DNS, for example, and getting their own domain name pointing to a server on their own network, and so. You know, there's enough of that, but it's still pretty tough. It's still hard to do.
Are you doing that, Steve?
I used to do it. I stopped doing it.
The people you hang out with, I don't know.
Well, but there are products. There are products like the Pogo plug. Which is just brain dead simple.
Is that a porn thing?
No.
It sounds like it.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
It's a bad brand name.
No,
I've got one. It's Yeah, it works good.
Yeah, you just plug it in, plug a drive in, and stick it on your network, and now you're all set. You register it at Pogo Plug, and now you can access those files anywhere.
Boom.
It was an Israeli startup, I think.
I think it was.
And it raised a lot of venture money. I think Draper Fisher Jurvetson might be one investor in that. But yeah.
Let me say one more thing real quick and then jump in. The one thing that's really exciting me right now is OwnCloud. OwnCloud.org. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that. Because it's
a nonprofit.
It's an open source project.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. And so I've been playing with that now for a couple weeks, and it's going to be pretty simple for people to run their own cloud for their music and their movies and their photos and so forth. So I think we're going to see more of that happening.
I like the term personal cloud. It's got, it's got cachet to it.
Got a little gravitas to it.
Yeah. It could be that buzzword that we'll be reading about at the end of next year, like the ones we're reading about now, twerk and selfie and snarknado or sharknado or whatever.
Sharknado. Snark.
Yeah, I like snarknado.
Snarknado.
No more selfies. We're going to do snarkies.
Snarkies. Okay. So
wedgies?
We're going to have to keep this. We're going to have to keep a copy of these show notes so we can review these things back again.
Yeah, exactly.
In 2014. Oh my God. We're going to be so old. Yeah,
I'm going to download these right now. Cause I had to listen to the darn show again this week.
And thank you for doing that. Punishment in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Going
okay.
back.
Yeah. Locked right. PDF document is being downloaded as we speak.
As we speak. Great. Sounds great.
Well, upcoming is the MHTA event at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. We chatted about that briefly last week.
Right.
And the Minneapolis Public Schools has their STEM Expo. There's actually going to be a link in here to a post on Minovate, which has info about it and all the registration stuff and so on. And it looks really interesting. And if you want to get in front of kids and their parents, hundreds and hundreds of kids and their parents, it's a great spot to support it, support the event and also to have a booth. So
there you go.
That's right.
And don't forget about Mobile March coming up in March on the 20th. Tickets now on sale.
That's right.
And you added a track that's kind of a connected devices, Internet of Things sort of deal.
Yes, it is.
Cool. Oh, just because you want to help me with my prediction. Thank you, Phil.
That's right.
I really appreciate that.
It's a bit of bandwagoning, I must admit. So.
They just got to be hip.
Got to be.
Good. All right.
Well, we'll see what happens between now and, the first, I guess we'll talk to you next year, right?
Next year on the...
That's right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
On?
The Minovate Gang Podcast. Take care, gents.
Hey, have a good weekend.
Hey, you too.
Bye. Peace.